page 3. Gemara in Mishnah, Shana Daf Yud Chet, talks about 6 months for which we send out messengers to let people know when Rosh Chodesh was so that the Yamim Tov and whatever else can be observed properly. This initiates a conversation in the Gemara, Yud Chet Amud Bet, about whether Megillat Ta'anit, right, the special days mentioned in Megillat Ta'anit, including Chanukah and Purim, exists Bizman Hazeh or doesn't exist Bizman Hazeh. So the Gemara has a debate about whether it exists or not. The Gemara tries to bring a proof from Chanukah. We know that Chanukah continues to exist as a holiday. It's mentioned in Megillat Ta'anit. So assumably, the fact that it continues to exist should prove that the holidays of Megillat Ta'anit are still in effect. The Gemara's answer is very interesting. Amar Rav Yosef, Shani Chanukah Deika Mitzvah. You can't prove anything from Chanukah. You can't prove from Chanukah that Megillat Ta'anit continues to exist, because Chanukah is different. It has a mitzvah. What does that mean? Well, first of all, what mitzvah are we talking about? So Rabbeinu Chananel, at the bottom of page 3, says, it has the mitzvah of Adlakat Neirot Chanukah. Why does he explain it that way? I think it's based on the next line of the Gemara, because the next line of the Gemara, Abaye says, V'tabatel ihi v'tabatel mitzvah. So why should the fact that I have a mitzvah make it different? Knock it off and knock its mitzvah off. El Amar Rav Yosef Shani Chanukah de Mefarsim Nisa. Chanukah is different because it's Pir Shemanes. What does Pir Shemanes? Adlakat Neirot. So Rabbeinu Chananel assumably understood that the second version of Rav Yosef is further elaborating on the first version of Rav Yosef. And when we say Shani Chanukah Deika Mitzvah, we mean Hadlakat Neirot. So I don't understand. What's the Gemara saying here? That Chanukah continues to exist and it could be different than the other holidays because it has this mitzvah of Neirot Chanukah. The mitzvah of Neirot Chanukah is the core, central aspect of Chanukah. The Chida, the Chida used this concept to explain major question that came up regarding the Nusach HaBracha. When we light Neirot Shabbat, what's the Nusach of the Bracha that we say? Hadlik Ner, Ner Shel Shabbat, right? So what should we say on Chanukah if it were the same? Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. What do we say? Oh, I say, excuse me. Rewind. We say, many people say, Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, in which case it's the same. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Sfaradim say it otherwise, in the Ari, they say Hadlik Ner Chanukah, not Ner Shel Chanukah, but Ner Chanukah. What? Based on the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Chida explained why is it different. Because on Chanukah, the Neirot aren't just a halacha of Chanukah. They are the essence of Chanukah. The Neirot of Shabbat are not the essence of Shabbat. They're not even Midoraita. Shabbat is Doraita, right? They're Ner Shel Shabbat. On Chanukah, they are the essence of Chanukah. And all this makes sense according to the Rambam. But according to Rashi, as we saw, when the Gemara here talks about Hallel and Hodah, what's it referring to? Hallel, saying of Hallel, and Al Nisim. It's not even talking about Ner Chanukah. So Ner Chanukah could just be some peripheral mitzvah. And the truth is, when you look at Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, the top of page 4, when it says the Mefarsim Nisa, Rashi explains, Kfar hu galu l'chol Yisrael al yadei she'enahagu bo ha-mitzvos. Meaning Rashi holds, it's not, Gemara isn't referring particularly to Neirot Chanukah. It's talking about all the mitzvot of Chanukah. Rashi doesn't have the same emphasis on Neirot Chanukah. I think this issue can be seen in Tosfos and the Rashba also. I also want to look further into the sugya. I gave you the Tosfos and the Rashba here. But all this, again, is tangential. Again, to summarize what we saw in the Rambam before we get to Rashi, and let's put it into perspective, the question we addressed yesterday was, how could the Gemara speak here only about the Neis Pach HaShemen if we know from so many other sources that the other Nisim, particularly the Milchama, are significant in the Halachot of Chanukah too? So we said yesterday there are two approaches to this question. The first is to say that the different Nisim generate different Halachot. And that's the approach we saw in the Rambam. The Neis of the Pach HaShemen is what's responsible for Halal V'Hodah. The Neis of the Milchama generates other Halachot. Which other Halachot we saw the Rambam holds that assumably is based on the Milchama? The Halachot of Simcha. We saw how this impacts the understanding of Hodah within the Gemara. And I mentioned two other points according to the Rambam. Number one, how he seems to understand the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah relating to all the Nisim, the Rambam in Perek Dal Halacha Yud Beis, and also this point about how the Rambam Shita would impact the centrality of Ner Chanukah within the nature of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, as opposed to Rashi, where it's just one of the regular mitzvah. Okay, let's now see the other approach. I think the other approach is necessary according to the Shita of Rashi. Why? Rashi explains in our Gemara that Hallel means Hallel and Hodah means Al Nisim. And both of them are said because of which Nes? Habach HaShemen. But we also have Rashi in Psachim. Rashi in Psachim, the top of page 5. Very famous Gemara, people are familiar with it because Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, etc. The Gemara there says that a takana was made to say Hallel anytime the Jewish people are saved, anytime they're Nigal. Rashi gives an example of when we say Hallel because of Gula. What example does he give? Hanukkah. So it seems from Rashi that the Hallel on Hanukkah is said because of the redemption in Milchama. Rashi explained in Shabbat that we're saying Hallel because of the Nes Pach HaShemen. This is a problem, right? What must you say according to the Rashi? Not different Nisim generate different halachot. But more than one Nes generates the same halacha. I mean, this is a more integrative approach because they're working together. Now the question is, why do we need two Nisim to generate one halacha? Why isn't one enough? So here I think there are two ways that one could explain this shita of why you would need more than one Nes to generate the same one halacha. One approach is the approach of the Pri Chadash, Pirush on the Shulchan Aruch, print in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. The other is the approach of the Maharal. So let's see both of these approaches. Let's begin with the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash is relating to the famous kasha of the Beit Yosef, the most famous kasha in Inyanei Chanukah. Anyone knows what it is? Yeah. The Beit Yosef asked, how come Chanukah is 8 days and not 7 days? The Nes, they had enough oil for one day, right? There are hundreds of answers to this question. The Beit Yosef. It became like the sport of Hanukkah to find an answer to the Beit Yosef's question. Even a sefer printed with 101 answers to the Beit Yosef's question. One of the famous answers, which I'm mentioning because we'll get to an interesting point of it later, is the question is, how did they light this Pach Shemen? Did they light on the first day they lit it, and lo and behold, part of it remained? And they kept going and going and going? Or, knowing they needed it for 8 days, maybe what they did from the very get-go was divided it into 8/8, right? How would that explain why Hanukkah is 8 days? Because on the first day already, there was a miracle because they lit an eighth and it lit for a whole day, right? That brings up a halachic question. Are you allowed to light the menorah in a way that there isn't enough oil for it to last? Okay, whatever. This is an issue speculated upon by the Achronim, but I think it's actually a machlokes rishonim. That's what I'm going to show you, about how they lit the menorah. In any case, the Pri Chadash has his own answer. His suggested answer is, you're right, as far as the Nes Pach HaShemen is concerned, the Yom Tov should have only been 7 days. But they celebrated on the first day because of what other Nes? The victory, the Milchama. In fact, this is how the Pri Chadash explains something strange according to the Rambam. Traditionally, we're used to the fact that when did they win the war? What day did they win the war? What day did they win the war? On Chav Talit. And they rested on the 25th. Right, that's how it explains why it's called Chanu Chafei, right? If you look at the Rambam, on the bottom of page 1, the Rambam doesn't say that. He says, U'keshegavru Yisrael al-Oleveim fe'ibdum v'chamisha v'yesrim v'chodesh kislev. And when did they win the war? The 25th. They came in, they found the oil. So if they found the oil on the 25th, they only lit it on the 26th. So what are they celebrating the 25th for? So the Pre-Chadash says, perfect. The 25th we celebrate because of the victory. The 26th and on, that's the Nes of the Pach Shemen. That's the answer given by the Pre-Chadash. And that would explain Rashi very well. Why do you need two Nisim for one mitzvah, for one Hallel? Because of the different days, we have to explain the different days. One could suggest, according to the Pre-Chadash, which again, it fits in within Rashi. Rashi doesn't say it, it fits in. That this is the Kash of the Gemara here, Mai Chanukah. The Gemara isn't asking, how do we know, why do we have a Yom Tov of Chanukah? We have a Yom Tov of Chanukah because of the victory. The question is why we have a Yom Tov of Chanukah for 8 days. The truth is, when you look in the Gemara, it does sound a little bit like they're asking about the 8 days. Because how does it present it? My Chanukah. The Tanur Rabbanon, Bechav Fei Bekislev, Yomei De Chanukah Timnaya Inun. Right, we're talking about the fact that it's 8. And in fact, if you look at the Girsa in Megillat Ta'anit, and the Rif, and the Tur, and I gave you all three of these sources. Let's look back at Megillat Ta'anit, which is the original source of it. On the fourth line it says, Kva'um Shmona Yamim Tovim. We're talking about how and why it was established for 8 days. Now you might say, that's the Girsa in Megillat Ta'anit, it's not the Girsa by us. And the fact that they took out the word Shmona means they're not asking about the 8 days. But the Rif has that Girsa. If you look at the Rif, on page 3, third source, the Rif says, L'shana acheret, Faum Chet Yamim Tovim, like it says in Megillat Ta'anit. So one could say the Gemara knows why there's Chanukah. There's Chanukah one day because of the victory. The Gemara's question is why Chanukah is for 8 days. Now here I want to show you something cool. Okay, you want to see something cool? Let's continue with the riff. The riff says, L'shana acheret, kva'um, chet yamim tovim. You can see it on page 3 or see it on page 5, third source on both sheets. Kva'um, chet yamim tovim. Behalel v'hoda. Hilkach mevarchina na nisa kol yoma v'yoma mitamnin yamei Chanukah. That's why we make a bracha on the neis, shas and nisim, all the 8 days. Ho'al v'chol yom v'yom, haya ha'neis mitchadesh. Every day the neis was renewed, right? If you look at Tosfos, in Ta'anit, fifth source on page 5, Tosfos is also trying to explain why we say Hallel on each day of Chanukah. Because, you know, we don't say Hallel on each day of Pesach, as opposed to Sukkot. Why is there a difference between Pesach and Sukkot based on the Gemara in Erechin? Anyone knows? The Gemara in Erechin says that on Sukkot, each day of the holiday has its own different number of Karbanot. And that's meant to show you that each day of Sukkot is a separate holiday. On Pesach, each day has the same korbanot. It's just a continuation. That's why we don't say Hallel, full Hallel, on each day of Pesach. Why is Chanukah like Sukkot, that we say full Hallel on each day of Chanukah? So Tosfos explains, The kol ha-chet yamim, haya ha-neis mitgadel. V'haya kol chad v'chad yom tov. Sounds a lot like the riff, right? Each day was special. But what's the difference between the riff and Tosfos? Tosfos says it got greater. The riff said it got renewed. Why do they use different words? What does new shemen mean? And according to Tosfos? I think that's what they're debating. I think the riff understands that they split into eighths. Right? So each day the miracle was the same. Renewed, the same. I think according to Tosfos, they lit the whole thing on the first day, right? Was there a big nace on the first day? Not really, right? On the second day there was 7/8 left. They lit it again. On the eighth day, there was 1/8 left. When was the nace greatest? On the eighth day, second greatest? Seventh day, sixth day, right? Every day, the nace got greater. I think this can explain something we'll talk about in Mirtz Hashem more at length. If you look at the Gemara here, earlier, Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, we know there's Mahadrin and Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin is that you change the number of candles per each day, right? Now, there's a debate there between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, right? Bet Hillel says each day you add one candle, right? And Bet Shammai says each day you take off one candle. And the Gemara discusses the reasons for each. One of the reasons given for Bet Shammai is we learn it from the Purim of Sukkot. On Sukkot, the first day there were 13 cows, a bull ox brought. On the 12th day there were, on the second day there were 12. On the third day there were 11. Now the obvious question is why would you learn Chanukah from Sukkot? Because the whole idea of a Yom Tov being significant each day in and of itself, the model for that is Sukkot. So if Chanukah is building off Sukkot, it makes sense you would use the same paradigm of using decreasing numbers to show the uniqueness of each day. This is how the Avudraham, if you look at the next source on page 5, this is how the Avudraham explains the changing of the Neros. That we change the number of Neros in order to show that each day is significant and different on its own. And this is the concept that we're talking about here. The Gemara is not asking why do we have a holiday of Chanukah. The Gemara is asking why do we have a holiday for 8 separate days. 8 unique days. And that comes from the nace of the Pach Shemen. So this is the first way one could explain the Shita of Rashi, which is, again, you need 2 nisim to generate the laws of Hallel, because the nace of the Nitzachon only accounts for the first day. Days 2 through 8. And particularly the fact that each of those days is its own holiday, that comes from the Pach Shemen. The renewal or the growing of significance of the nace of the Pach Shemen. Okay, questions about this approach before we turn to the Maharal? The Maharal has another way of explaining the need for 2 nisim, which is even more integrative than the Pre-Chadash. And the Pre-Chadash is more integrative than the approach of the Rambam, because according to the Rambam, the different nisim are generating different halachot. According to the Pre-Chadash, the different nisim are generating the same halachot, but on different days. The Maharal held that the different nisim are generating the same halachot on the same day. So why do we need two? So the Maral has an assumption in his Sefer on Chanukah called Ner Mitzvah that we would only say Hallel because of a physical saving, a geula. We don't say a Hallel because of Nisim that happened if people weren't saved by those Nisim. In fact, there's an interesting story, and later on in Shabbat, it talks about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, didn't have oil to light for Shabbos. So he said a tefillah to Hashem, the God who decided that oil can light, should make this vinegar light. And the vinegar lit for the whole of Shabbat. What a nace. Maybe we should say Hallel. Why don't we say Hallel for that nace? Same nace as Chanukah, right? The difference is that on Chanukah the Jewish people were saved. Here he just had light on his house for Shabbos. We don't say Hallel for Nisim like that. We say Hallel, says the Maral, because of the Milchama. What about the Gemara here? So the Maral explains that the importance of the nace Pach HaShemen was to show us that the Milchama, the victory in the Milchama was because of Hashem. If you look at the Maral, second source on the bottom of page 5, he says, Yod yesh lomar she'ikar ma shekavu yemei Chanukah b'shvil shayu menatzchim et ha'yevanim. Chanukah is because of the victory. Rak shelo haya nireh she'ya kan nitzachon hazeh al yedei neis she'asa zeh Hashem itbarach velo haya zeh mikocham ugvuratam. It wasn't clear that the victory was because of a neis from Hashem and not because of their own strength. Ulefichach na'asa ha'neis al yedei neirot ha'menorah שידעו שהכל היה בנס מן השם יתברך. וכך המלחמה שהיו מנצחים ישראל היה מן השם יתברך. The purpose of the Nes Pach HaShemen was to show that the milchama was Meis Hashem. And that's why we say hello to the milchama. And the truth is that I think this fits in nicely with the Lashon HaRambam. If you remember the Lashon HaRambam, we saw it already, but I reprinted it here at the bottom of page 5. The Rambam says that we light the neros al pischei habatim, laharos ulegalos. Reminds you of anyone? Laharos ulegalos. Clyde Frazier, no? Yeah. Kvaum vasaum. Laharos ulegalos. Now, what does laharos mean? To show the nes. What does legalos mean? To reveal the nes. What do you have to reveal? What are you revealing? One could say you're revealing the fact that the milchama was a nes. What reveals that? The Pach Shemen. Haneros halalu kodeshem ve'enan l'rushut l'shtamesh b'mel l'rotem b'vad k'day l'hodot u'lahal l'shimcha gadol al v'al niflosech v'al tshuatecha. What are we being hodos and halal on? Not that the ner of the Pach Shemen lit. Shkoyach, what do we have to say halal for that? We're being k'day l'hodot u'lahal al the tshua. Hashem saving us, right? Hanerot halalu she'anu madlikim al anisim v'al aniflot v'al tshuot v'al milchamot. We're lighting them because of the milchama. So what does that have to do with the Pach Shemen? The Pach Shemen reveals that the milchama was from Hashem. Once we light these neros, it's kedei lehodus l'halal on the milchama, not on the Pach Shemen. So this is a very integrative approach. What do I mean? One nace is there to help us appreciate the other nace. So now I have one last question that I want to address, which gets a little bit to the hashkafa of what's going on here. If the purpose of the Pach Shemen was for Hashem to show that it was really Him, that the Milchama wasn't because Tzahal was tough and guerrilla warfare was from Him, why did Hashem choose this format? Let's say today Hashem wanted to show us that the nace was from Him. I got this great idea, Benj. You ready? We'll get God one of these Skyrider planes. And He'll ride across the sky from me. Now today that might not be that impressive, but could you imagine that happening in the time of the Milchama? Me'ez Hashem. I would have been convinced. Why? Particularly if that would have been greater than the menorah. Why does Hashem, what is the particular significance of the menorah and why was it chosen? So here I want to develop a little bit an appreciation of the backdrop to what the menorah symbolized. Let's look at page 6. Fire is always, consistently, traditionally used as a symbol for the Shekhinah. Why? Why do you think fire? Oh, that's how we know it, but why? not just not tangible like air, but you can't touch it. It's beyond man's reach. It's above man. It's always fire and cloud in the Midbar. Cloud means you can't see through it, right? It's beyond your ability to see. Fire beyond your ability to touch, exist in. And Rafi mentioned the Midbar, but it begins before. God wants to make a treaty with the first man, with Avram Avinu. He makes the Brit Bein HaPtarim, right? What does Avram to do? Take animals, cut them in half, so you have a cohesive whole, and walk in between the animals. In between the parts of the animals. What does that mean? Well, what else passes between the animals? The fire of God. It's like the Chassan and Kala walking down the aisle between the congregation, coming together. Rashi explains, Derech Korsei Abris, this is the way people make a treaty. Right? Cohesive whole, putting with our entering in between parts of a cohesive whole. Before you get to the Midbar, God appears to Moshe to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt in the form of the burning bush. And then, of course, as Rafi said, the Jews travel out led by the Amud HaEsh. Okay. So now God wants his presence to reside amongst the Jewish people in the Mishkan, right? The Jews build the whole Mishkan, they sacrifice korbanos. How does God show that his presence is there? What happens in Vayikra Perek Tet? Fire comes down from the heavens, right? That's why there's such an important mitzvah to maintain the fire on the Mizbeach, because the fire represents the Shechina. Came down in the Shammai. In Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Zayin, the same thing happens when Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash. Now we can understand why it was so problematic for Nadav and Avihu to bring their fire on the Mizbeach. You don't mix your fire. We don't start the fire, right? We maintain the fire. But God starts the fire. It's God's fire. So now if we look at page 7, you see how this fire remains not only on the Mizbeach, but in a magical, very important symbolic way on the menorah. At the top of page 7, Shmot Perach of Zion, there's a tzivui to light a ner tamid. A ner tamid. On the menorah. What does it mean to make a ner tamid on the menorah? So interestingly, the Gemara in our perek, and instead of looking at the sheet, let's look at Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis. I want to show this to you because I want to show you that it's smack dab in the middle of the sugyas of Chanukah. This Gemara appears. On Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis, on the very next page. Now the Gemara technically brings it in here as part of a discussion, of a halachic discussion, but I think it's significant that it's here. The Gemara asks, 10 lines from the top, why did there have to be light in the menorah in the Mishkan? God needs the light of the Jewish people? God's light led them through the desert. What does he need our light for? The light of the menorah was a testimony to the peoples of the world that the Shechina resided amongst the Jewish people. How is it a testimony? It was the westernmost candle on the menorah. Shenotin b'shemen k'midat chavroteha. They would put the same amount of oil in that one as the others. Umimena hayamadlik uvaya mesayim. He would light that one first, and it outlasted any of the other candles. It was a miracle candle. It was a sign of God's Shechina. And of course, this is the basis of the custom we have to have in every shul, ner tamid, right? Which is constantly lit. Remember the magical time when you went into shul one time when it was closed and it was all dark and you see the light on there, right? Mm-hmm. The electricity's off, yet that light is on. And especially good when we're young and we don't realize that there are different circuits. It's like, how come that light's still on? What's the deal? But that, when the original Mishkan, it was really magical. So this symbolized, before Hanukkah, right? Ner Tamid, Shemot Berachot Tet. God's continuous relationship with the Jewish people. And now we have to get into the history a little bit. Back to our sheets. The Gemara in Yoma, Daf Lamed Tesamed Aleph, tells us that this miracle of the magical westernmost light started to flicker out in Beit Sheni. It says, in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, who was a great Kohen in Beit Sheni 40 years, all these Nisim, including the Ner, happened. But after Shimon HaTzadik's life, this Nes was inconsistent. When did Shimon HaTzadik live? When in Beit Sheni? Anyone knows? Right before the Greeks came to Israel and began to impact the Jewish people. How do we know? If you look at the Gemara in Yom Adav Samach Tes, the Gemara that says that Shimon HaTzadik, at the end of his life, met Alexandrus Mukden, Alexander the Great. Shimon HaTzadik was the last Kohen Gadol before the Greek influence. Why did the nes of the Ner Ma'aravi start to become inconsistent with the Greek influence? Well, if you look at the next source, the famous Medrash in Bereshit Rabbah.
What's the nes Ma'aravi?
The Ner Ma'aravi of that magical candle. If you look at the Bereshit Rabbah, the Medrash connects the different Golios to different psukim that describe the bedlam that was in the world before creation. Ve'eretz ha'isato vavo, that's Golis Bavel. Right, Tavto. Vavo is Golis Madai. Ve'choshech al pnei ha'tahom, that's Golis Yavon. Golis Yavon is symbolically represented by Choshech. Shehechshicha einehim shel Yisrael. They blackened out the eyes of the Jewish people, darkened the eyes of the Jewish people with their gzeros, because they told them to write on the horn of an ox, She'ein lechem chelek be'elokei Yisrael. This is part of a broader list of strange things regarding the conflict with the Greeks. That kind of boils down to, ultimately, the goal of the Greeks being to get the Jews to believe that they don't have a special relationship with God. Mila, right? It's okay for you to have your traditions, but lashkicham, not Torah, but lashkicham Torah techa. La viram mechukei ritzonecha, not mishpatim, but chukim. The things people do because God told them, not because they make sense to them. Chukei ritzonecha. The goal of the Greeks was to get the Jews to recant the concept of chosenness, of being God's special people. And of course, as we know, the Greeks were very successful at convincing most of the Jews to believe this. Just like most Jews believe today they're not a special people. Unfortunately, what's happened is that the concept of specialness is so ingrained within the Jewish people that when they stop believing that they're special in a positive way, they stop believing they're special in a negative way. So many Jews have this low self-esteem complex. Whatever we do is wrong and evil and bad. Jews are genetically trained to believe they're special. Now, again, the question is, in what way is special? You know, we talk about how the war was between the Chashmonaim and the Greeks. It's not really true. It was between the Chashmonaim and the other Jews. There were a lot of Jews on the Greek side. Jews who believed that we're not special. You can understand very well why. When Jews stop believing in this specialness, why would there be a miracle that is meant to show this specialness? So the miracle of the Ner Ma'aravi stops. Now we can get a better appreciation of why the menorah was chosen to show that God has this special relationship with the Jewish people. Let's put ourselves into the context of the time, right? The Chashmonaim are fighting a battle, not some civil war, freedom, emancipation, but Mil Hashem Elai, right? That's the battle cry. They're saying, we do have this special relationship. Now they're victorious in war. Now they're saying, why are we victorious in war? Because we have this special relationship. Others are saying, ah, Veshmeh. Suddenly, the nace that used to represent this specialness returns in a major way. Instead of just the westernmost candle, the whole menorah is lit up magically. The Pnei Yehoshua, maybe not the one you'd expect to say this, basically says this approach, and he uses it to explain why the Jews insisted on using this special tar oil instead of using Tameh oil. We know Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. When the whole Tzibur is Tameh, you're allowed to do things B'Tumah. So why didn't they use Tameh oil instead of relying on an ace? And as we know, Ain't Somchen Al Anes. So Pnei Yehoshua says, second line, last source, page 7, L'kach Nira, the Ikar Anes lo Na'asa, Ela lahodia lehem chibat hamakom alehem. The nes was for Hashem to show them His affection for them. Kida ashkechan, the nisin that used to take place in Bayit Sheni, and Malchut Yavon came and said that you're not special, and now the nes returned, first time since Shimon HaTzadik, to show once again that they were especially ends off Cain nirali nachum. So this is meant to give us a deeper appreciation of why this particular mechanism vehicle is used to show them that the Melchama was Me'es Hashem. So the bottom line for us is, methodologically, getting back to the core, to summarize, the Gemara here says that Hanukkah is based on the Pach Shemen. We saw yesterday there are other sources that seem to imply that Hanukkah is based on other Nisim. We saw two approaches of how you can reconcile between these different sources. One is to say different Nisim generate different Halachot. We suggested this according to the Rambam. The other approach is to say the Nisim together generate the same halachot, which you must say, according to Rashi, at least regarding the halacha of Halo. How do they work together? Either the different Nisim for different days, the pre-chadash, or that one Nes is Megala on the other Nes, to use Lashon HaRambam, according to the Maharal. Okay, questions on this? So even though this is not the first sugi that deals with Chanukah in this perek, I decided to start with it because it's the backdrop to everything. Now we're going to take a step back and go back to Chof Aleph Amad Aleph, where the Gemara begins discussing it. And the truth is that from that beginning on the bottom of Chof Aleph Amad Aleph through this sugya, I'm getting back to where we are, is the meat of Chanukah sugyas. There's one other very important sugya afterwards, of Hadlaka Hanachos HaMitzvah, for those familiar. And that's hopefully what we'll get up to in the first month. We'll start from Chof Aleph Amad Aleph and get all the way up to Hadlaka Hanachos HaMitzvah. We'll see what we'll do the second month, yes, no, whatever. Okay. So let's begin. People had a chance to begin preparing, right? A little bit, right? So let's begin the Gemara in Chof Aleph Amad Aleph. Okay. Are we okay? Just drizzling a little bit, right? We'll see if it gets too bad. If it gets too bad, we'll go inside. And we'll finish up a little bit here just to give a little introduction. Obviously, we're going to do this more at length on Wednesday. Tomorrow, we're going to have a special shiur on Inyanei Tanios. Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Psilos u'shmanim sh'amru chachonim ein madlikin ben b'shabbos, right? The Mishnah, first Mishnah here. Ein madlikin ben b'chanukah. Bein b'shabbat, bein b'cholon chanukah. Here, obviously, the question that should come up when we read this is, why would you think there's a difference between Chol and Shabbat? To what extent is Shabbat different on Chanukah? Amar Rava, Mai Taima de Rav Huna, why is it also the light with these things? Kasavar Kavta Zakukla, Mutar Leishtamish Laura. Rava gives two different things, two different halachic principles that are behind Rav Huna's statement. Obviously, we need to ask ourselves what relationship, if any, is there between these two halachic principles, or are they two different things that happen to be the basis for Rav Huna? If we're putting two and two together, so obviously we'd ask ourselves, how do these two different halachic principles relate to our two different cases? What were our two different cases? Chol and Shabbat. Do they line up? Do they double date? Right, meaning, is it Chol connected to one of them and Shabbat connected to the other one of them? Who says that?
Rashi,
you know Rashi's getting it from. Again, it's a natural question one would need to ask. Reb Chista Amar, Madlikin ben b'chol, aval lo b'shabbos. So clearly you see that at least someone can distinguish between the two, right? And the question is, does this show us that according to Rav Huna, there are distinctions between the two? To what extent does one sheet to show you something about the other sheet? But Rav Huna definitely distinguishes between them. The Gemara explains, Katsavar, Kofta Ein Zakukla, this already starts to give us some basis for linking one with the other, right? At least within Rav Chista, you see that the din of Shabbos is based on the issue of Mutar L'Yishtamish La'ora. And the issue of Chol is based on Kafta Zakukla and Zakla. That's at least going to Rav Chista. Let's be careful, right? Rashi took it back from Rav Chista and applied it to Rav Huna. Sensible thing. Not necessarily a Mulchruch thing, right? Amar Rav Zera, third Shita, Amar Rav, Masna. The Amri La, some people say Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav. That really ratchets up the halacha. Rav, right? Rav's a big man. Psilos u'shmanim sh'amru chachamim ein madlikin ben b'shabbos. Like Rav Huna, he's referencing in regard to the Mishnah. Madlikin ben b'chanaka. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. We had all three Shitas here. Well, could have had a fourth. Distinguishing Shabbos Chol in the other direction, but that wouldn't make sense. Why would it only be Shabbos? Okay, right? Suddenly we've gone full circle. You can light it on both. Amir of Yirmiyah, my time of the Rav. Kasavar Kovsein Zakukla. Vasilishtamish Laura. He rejects both things that Rav explained were the basis for Rav Huna. So the question that obviously needs to be asked here is, what's the basis according to each of these shitas for each of these halachot? And how does it work? Just to end off, Amrur Rabbanan Kameda Abaye Mishmeda Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Rabbanan said this whole thing about Rabbi Yirmiyah in front of Abaye. V'lo kibla. He didn't accept it. Why didn't he accept it? Wasn't it the whole, I mean, is there another way of understanding everything? Even more interesting, Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Ravin was one of the two Talmidim of Rav Yochanan, who came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and brought traditions from Rav Yochanan. Who was the other one? Rav Dimi, right? Amar Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ravin, Amar Rav Yochanan. I always talk about Kiyasa, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Kiyasa Ravin. When he came, Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Abayim Yishmeidu Rabbi Yochanan, V'kibla. Now, if I'm Reb Yirmiyah, I gotta be wondering, what does Baha'i have against me? I don't mean it that way. I'm saying, what convinced him more? Not only that, but Amar Yizakai Gemir Tlishmaitim Eikara. Halavai, if I was lucky enough, I would have learned this initially. I would have known this when I was younger. Halavai, I knew this earlier. It's gonna make Reb Yirmiyah feel even worse. But I tried to tell you earlier, what's the problem? V'ha Gemara, but now he learned it, now who cares when you learn it? Nafkamina lagirs to the Yankusa. Nafkamina is the, you learn it when you're younger, you remember it better. The Gemara has one little addendum here, which becomes a huge bunch of sugyas. The Kaf saying, Zakukla, is it true? Uraminhu. We have a kasha, we have a brice which says, Mitzvah samisha tishaka achama achtech l'regam anashuk. The mitzvah is from Shkia until people aren't around anymore. My, lav di ikaf sahadar madlikla, doesn't it mean that you have to keep relighting it until tich l'regam anashuk? Lo, di lo adlik madlik. It means that you can light it initially during that time frame. Inami l'shura, how much oil has to be in it? But if you lit it, you're yotze. This last two lines, they have a lot of important things, which we'll talk about when we get up to it. So again, these are a number of questions about the flow of the sugya. And we're going to talk about it in the next few shiurim. We're going to talk first about kaf, sazako, gain, zakuka. And we'll talk about asr, mutter, l'shtamish, lor, two important questions, right? And of course, we'll constantly keep in mind what connection there is between them. Is there a relationship? Are there two independent things that happened to come up within this conversation? And particularly keeping in mind Chol and Shabbos. So the first issue, the issue that Rabbi Shonim relate to here, ala sugya, is the relationship between Chol and Shabbos. You saw it in Rashi, you saw it in Tosos, you saw it in the Rif, you saw it in the Ramban. I don't know how well you guys had a chance to really flesh it out, right? How does the issue of Kafsa Zakula relate to Chol and Shabbos? And we'll use that to discuss the broader question of how you understand the Machlokas of Kafsa Zakula or Ein Zakula. Right? How it relates to Chol and Shabbos is a nafkamina of how you understand the Machlokas, right? If people didn't consider these things yet, this is what you want to be considering when doing this, when completing this Shemir Tisham on Wednesday, right? Tomorrow we'll be learning about tasks about Mar Makomos, etc. V'chule, okay? Avkan. Sky's held up. Shkoyach. Who's going in?